Blog Talk Radio.
From the beginning, our people have shared oral history. Through colonization, we have been silenced, disconnected from our land, torn from cultural traditions, family structures became nuclear. We have always resisted. Our people don't give up. We are human. From Africa, we are all connected. In history, black bodies are neglected. I'm feeling misrepresented. It's up to me to reveal and present it. Forced across salty seas, carried by white crest peaks of greed. Trained with whips, took away my humanity. Spiritual songs brought me into reality. New breed, hybrid indeed. Cross the Mississippi to pursue the Cali dream. One generation eager to assimilate, still treated differently, still face hate. I compete so my family can eat. With the children of the sun my eyes meet. I am black, he is brown, what's the difference? Not even our complexion connected in resistance. Untold stories,
bitch dead.
Untold stories,
not dead.
Untold stories,
let's prove.
Untold stories,
it's you.
Untold stories,
bitch dead.
Untold stories,
not dead.
Untold stories,
let's prove.
Untold stories,
it's you. Digging to the roots of my ancestry. Then I read the book of my history. Calling me a stick, but they don't know me. Native to the land they refuse to see. Invasion of a continent, 1492. European ways cut into the land and the people. Bringing separation, not civilization, for hate and devastation. Out of disaster, my people are born. Once the master and turn nearly torn. 1821, they say I am free from my caste system that still affects me. Runaway slaves, settled in this land. Born in 1849, it gets at a hand. Jim Crow laws create segregation. The brown-black struggle, reunification.
Untold stories,
bitch dead.
Untold stories,
not dead.
Untold stories,
let's prove.
Untold stories,
it's you.
Untold stories,
bitch dead.
Untold stories,
not dead.
Untold stories,
let's prove.
Untold stories,
it's you.
Gold seeker, settled in Negro Bar. Free from chains and whips, but I'm scarred. These lacerations penetrated my skin. Black code, trying to have me give in. 1896, separate but equal. Promised reparations, oppression for my people. Continued legally until the Civil Rights Act. Enough is enough, yelling proud to be black.
1910, there is mass migration. War in my land, so I go to the nation. For the dreams, but they exploit me. Suit riots, 1943. I take another stand, 1968. Join the Black Heart, set the record straight. No longer separated, physically or mentally. Inside of guarantee, now what you wanna see?
Untold stories,
bitch dead.
Untold stories,
not dead.
Untold stories,
let's prove.
Untold stories,
it's you.
Untold stories,
from the beginning.
Yay, I finished. That was an unintended intro. It was from the other night with Daniel Sendejas. Debut, his second or third time on this show. We have John in the house. I'll pull him in to the show. Tonight we have four topics. John, hold on a sec. A U.S. journalist from Massachusetts got beheaded, named John Foley, I believe, and he came from a well-to-do family. He got killed in Iraq. He was formerly in Syria. We have upheaval in Ferguson, Missouri, and we have dirt on a Blog Talk Radio controversy. Good evening, John.
Greetings, Jane Hoffman. Drop thy holy hammer down.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But
so
it was
that
a good
song. That was Daniel's song?
Yeah, it was. It's called Untold Stories.
Wow.
And the first night that we had the tin can
right
episode where my phone was echoing, I had played it in the beginning, I believe, before you got on. The second
right,
night on Monday, it was also played.
Well, I'm glad I got to hear it without the police megaphone effect that you had on it. It's a pretty cool song. I thought it was like some famous, you know, rapper, like Jay-Z or some.
It's Daniel and his female friend. I don't know if it was Brittany Green, who sang on the Divine Light audio track, but I'm trying to figure it out. You know.
Wow.
Right now as we speak. So it's been a pretty crazy week in the news. There's been an American journalist got beheaded. There's upheaval in Ferguson, Missouri, which isn't a very big town, but it's another Gina Six or Trayvon Martin situation. And now the Attorney General is down there today. And I got in a blowout fight with Ernest S. before the show started.
Wow. Controversy. Should we start with the beheading? Or just losing
of
your head?
Ernest? Sure. I want to start with my own petty controversy.
Okay.
And sometimes that's where people are at.
That's how
By
it usually
way,
starts.
By the way, I'm going to end tonight's episode with Flo's song New Project. I found it on his SoundCloud page. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I glanced on the blogtalkradio.com/Ernest Radio Network where I served 3.5 years. And last week he had erased every single Political Gravity episode except for the ones that occurred 3 years ago, and there were maybe 6 to 10 left. And I looked today after I got off work, and there were 0 episodes left of Beaten Path and Political Gravity for the 3.5-year spectrum that I served, except for one episode, Does God Hate You, where I interviewed 2 prominent people from that church that pickets funerals. And he left that on there because it's a credible whatever podcast.
Right.
So he did this without my permission, right?
Right.
I had paid $20 to $40 over a 3.5-year period every month to help him support the network. He never said, "I'm removing your radio shows or your podcasts or your archives. Would you like them?"
No.
So today I asked. Right, today he always says deal with me directly. So I called him. He picked up the phone and immediately hung up the receiver. Then I didn't call back. I texted him and I asked him why he did that. I asked him politely and he didn't respond. So basically I went into my PayPal account, looked up a couple Blog Talk Radio payments that I made and disputed them through PayPal. I disputed $45 worth of payments because I have no access to my creative material. He flew off the handle, called me back twice live and 3 texts saying that he would give me all the podcasts if I removed the dispute. But I disagreed with that and I told him, well, I was actually really tired from work. So I just told him, forget about it. I don't care anymore. And within 10 minutes, PayPal told me they're reimbursing me. So I'm not going to remove the dispute.
Wow.
And I only wrote a 2-sentence explanation, and PayPal's never that fast. So I don't know why they were so fast on the stick like that.
Well, what is your...
he called me childless. He called me stupid. He called me childlike, stupid, impulsive. Let me see what else. Many things.
Which may be partly true. It sounds though like he's looking in the mirror as he's yelling these things. Right?
I wrote back, I didn't start this. And if he would have just listened to my first request without hanging up on me, I wouldn't have filed a claim.
That's true.
The only reason I did is to get his attention because he would have ignored my request had I not involved money. Because money's always the bottom line with people.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So
hammer
I'm not
hard.
Trying to be a jerk, but I am forcing himself to look in the mirror at his own problems.
I see. Well, there are several ways to respond. I guess there's 50 different ways to skin a cat, and I guess the question is, what does your little Jesus heart tell you?
My Jesus heart tells me I should have handled it different.
Right. That's okay.
Because
sometimes Jesus' heart doesn't work with people.
He was pleasant with me a few weeks ago when he asked me why I sent the $7. And
right.
I explained why, and then he just wrote, thank you, later.
Right.
Then
he's
very hostile towards me, and I've never done a damn thing to the person.
Right.
I've never been super mean to him at all.
Right. Sometimes, too, you know, when I say Jesus' heart, we think, oh, well, she should just roll over and die. And, you know, whatever happens, just leave it to the Lord. You know, Jesus threw people out of the temple. He grabbed a whip and started shaking it up. So sometimes Jesus' heart, Jesus' love, it isn't always being wimpy. It isn't always being taken advantage of. Sometimes it's being aggressive or just stating the truth. And I mean, he said many things that just leveled people. You know, he told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, right?
I thought you were talking about Ernest said many things to level people.
Well, you know, all of us do.
The fact of the matter is that he tells me he wants to deal with things directly, but then he wants to do it his way. And that's not how life works. I'm tired of backing down and being humble. He removed my shows. I invested in the show over 3.5 years. And then he said I pulled shit on people. He's pulled more shit on people than... He's constantly pulling shit on people.
You do have a point. And I guess is in most conflicts, it's not all one-sided. He has some points. You have some points. And then it's just a matter of, well, how are we going to settle these? You know, we're going to go mano a mano. Can we talk it out? Then one person shoots fires a shot over the bow, and suddenly game on, right? So it's a weird. I mean, do you take a couple hits? Do you fire back? I think there's a lot of discretion.
I don't
to
have.
Each person.
I realized I made a mistake because it was my most tired time of day. I don't have the energy to fight the battles. I just wanted an answer to the question, and I did not get it. And I did up the ante when I filed a dispute, but. You know, I sent his roommate, I looked back to my PayPal transactions to 2011, I sent his roommate $80 back in 2011 because he didn't have PayPal back then, so I sent it through his roommate. I sent his roommate $20 when they were driving home to E's mom's funeral.
Right.
So I'm a nice person. I'm not combative. He's
right.
Combative with me. And that's all I want to talk about, because there's more problems in the world. But if you have a final thing to say, you may say it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have his side of the story or all the facts, but I'll just do Judge Wapner on it. You invested in this together with him as a joint venture, and he destroyed, obliterated that part of it, even though you paid for it, without compensating you. So I'd say in this case, the hammer is justified. And of course, I'm sure there may be other facts to this, but just in general, all he had to do was tell you, hey, this is what I'm intending to do. Does he want money or what? It sounds like there's a little vendetta, a little payback for other psychological damages. And in my court of law, I side with the hammer.
Thank
not
you.
Just, not just because you're hosting the show. Just I
just
do that.
Pounded the hammer gavel down or the hammer case closed.
We should
and
do a hammer down episode.
Mm-hmm. If Bob Aldridge or you wanted to listen to old episodes on his network, they're no longer available. So
yeah.
it does cause emotional damage. I have hours and times and many hours of research that I did for things like that.
If I had all my stuff obliterated that I've worked on musically, I would be a little pissed myself. Yeah, I would.
So we can go with what you want to talk about, but I just want to read the first two paragraphs of this top story. Anti-government activists in Syria have paid tribute to American war journalist James Foley, who is believed to have been beheaded by militants in the Islamic State, IS, in Iraq. A freelance war journalist from Rochester, New Hampshire, Mr. Foley disappeared in northern Syria in 2012 of November when a car he was trailing in was stopped by militants in a contested battle zone. Well, he's been at large for 2 years and now he's dead, and the video showing his beheading was legitimate.
And, of course, the question always is, the question I pose is, do you see Christians doing this? And follow-up question, do you see Jews doing this? In fact, do you see anyone doing it? I know communists are pretty, you know, extreme, but, I mean, these are the only cats that are doing this, beheading people, just because they're not Christian.
You want to hear something really twisted about this story? Someone tweeted a Twitter picture with a big sign with a bunch of Muslims holding Syrian flags. James Foley's will to expose Assad and ISIS pushed him to sacrifice his blood to enlighten Obama's vague vision. Humanity is proud of James. The Syrian revolution.
Woo! You know, we're just so lucky we're in America because, I mean, I'm spouting off, right? But I'm telling you, if I was in Iraq or Iran right now, I'd be hiding and running because whatever I just said would be the death sentence, and I would be the next guy they'd behead. It's crazy.
Yeah, you can see their faces in the picture. There's about 9 or 10 of them.
Oh, yeah.
In this case, they are partially true because, see, Assad in Syria did protect minority religions, but now he's become a perpetrator because he's disrupted the homes of many Islam people. You know, Bashar al-Assad is not a Muslim. He's an Alawite.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it means,
and
I'm scared of it.
I think it's like an old group of people, like the Bedouin people.
Okay, got it.
I'm trying to look this up right here, but he is an Alawite, and Alawite Islam, but it's a small sect of Islam, and it's not popular.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the way,
it's a mystical one. Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of our brother Obama, I know this is just barely off the track, but you know, I received a letter yesterday from my Obama friends, my Obamacare people. I had applied.
Was it a political thing?
Applied for, you know, basically at gunpoint, they said, listen, you have to sign up for Obamacare or it's going to cost you a couple $100, right? Some Benjamins. I'm like, okay, I'll pony up. I yield, right? I bend over, go ahead, just, you know, do what you're going to do. 6 months later, I get a letter. It's like, we are so sorry. We're so backed up, but we're still working on your request. I hope I don't have to go to the hospital or have an accident or anything, you know, over the last 6 months or the next 6 months, because they're still working on it. This streamlined.
So they said there was a delay in your health care?
Well, they're just so backed up with requests and paperwork, and it's this new system, and they're just having trouble. Now, I mean, I have to, you know, you go to regular insurance with whatever I have, you know, and in a day they tell you, or a couple days, or a week, or within the month, or within the enrollment period. This is 6 months. I mean, what if I was a sickly person? This is a disaster, and I'm sure they'll straighten it out because I'm sure this is, you know, streamlining stuff, but 6 months? And they still don't have a definitive answer?
Do you happen to have the letter in front of you and you could read a few paragraphs?
Oh, yeah. I actually,
is it vague or specific?
Oh, it's very let me grab that while we're doing that.
I'll play some audio while you're getting it, okay?
Cool.
1, 2, 3.
Dedicated to Michael Andrew Torres. Sunrise, 11/23/92. Sunset.
You back yet?
Oh, I'm still here.
Okay, do you have the letter?
Still looking for it. I'll find it. But I guess and I'll get the wording. But the thing about it, and sorry, I don't have it in front of me, just because it's one of those like, oh yeah, you guys are gonna, you know, whenever you get back to me, it's just one of those deals where you just, if I was a seriously.
Okay, so what would happen right now if you don't have health care? Where would you go for help?
I would go, well, you know, what Slick advised me, he said, just go to emergency. They have to treat you and, you know, give them a couple bucks a month. You know, like they're going to have to wait till you get. Basically, I told him I have Amish health care. I have what my grandfather had, which is just don't get sick. You know, I mean, if they need to cut you open, we'll get a knife in the back and we'll just, put it together. We'll figure it out. And this is our government. This is like state of the art, you know.
They gave a 1-year delay to some states? They backed up the requirements because some states weren't ready to implement it.
Oh yeah, they didn't work this out, you know. And it kind of goes back to, and I can't blame, Barack, because I mean he's not the guy keying up the orders, and you know he's not the one who created the system. But he is the one, when you push for stuff and you don't have it together, you are responsible, you know, I have to say. I mean, he's the one who's pushed for this thing very hard. And, you know, it's just, it doesn't affect me in a certain way because I'm very fortunate. I've only been sick twice, you know, where I needed a hospital when I shattered my leg in concert, when I had appendicitis 2 years ago. Other than that, I've never needed a doctor for anything. But what about the people who do, you know? How are they going to get by? This is ridiculous.
I want to ask you a question.
We're
talking about commerce right now. So the other day, my insurance agent from Farmers told me to come in last week and pay a check manually for car insurance because he was giving me a $48 discount, and he forgot to dismantle the electronic payment debit in my bank, and I had to pay $20 to block that electronic payment.
Because on
Monday I brought him a check, and I asked him to give me a $20 rebate because he forgot to do it, and he dodged the bullet. I asked him three different ways, three different times over the course of the day. He said, oh, I thought that was already done when he was sitting there with me. And then I basically asked him to write a letter, email to my credit union to explain that it was his fault. And then I asked the bank if they could not charge me, and they wouldn't help me either. And I felt my conclusion was in corporate America, nobody cares. They just want to make a profit.
No, and I had a friend deal with this earlier today. She's 22, and she, for the summer, is off and starting school in a couple of weeks. And when the summer had started, she had a driver's permit. And all she had to do was drive for a couple months and go in and get her DMV thing taken care of. And she didn't. Now, usually with the younger students, I used to ride them on stuff like this, you know, get your life together, get a checking account, get your driver's license, you know, get a credit card, you know, be responsible. But I stopped doing that. And anyway, needless to say, I asked today, I said, so any things you're going to do, you know, before the summer ends? I didn't push it, just like whatever you want to do. I said, oh, you know, I need to finish that driver thing. I said, oh, that's cool. And she said, you know, I'm going to do it right now. Okay, so she logged on and she found out that end of July was the deadline, so she's going to have to start all over again. And I said, well, I didn't tell you so, but thing about life is it's like it has hundreds of details, and if you don't jump on them when they're unimportant, they become very important. So stuff that even is minor, we just have to like jump all over it, and I realize it piles up. I have, by the way, here it is. Thank you for applying for affordable health insurance in California. We know you or your family members are waiting to learn what health insurance you can get with this year. Well, what happened to my health insurance application? That's even the question. We are sorry that you've not yet heard back from us about your Medi-Cal application. Unfortunately, because we received
Medi-Cal.
So many applications. Yes. And because last year I was in between jobs, so they made me actually apply as Medi-Cal. Because we received so many applications and because of computer problems, we have not finished processing all the applications. We want to let you know that we have your application. We'll make a decision as soon as possible about you or your family's health coverage based on the information you gave us. You do not need to apply again. Do you need more information about me from my application? if we need more information, we will send you a letter, blah, blah, blah. So and the funny thing is, because I was in a certain window when I applied, this year they'll have to redo everything anyway, like, you know, probably the next enrollment period. They'll have to review it all over again because I'm in a different company, the different status. That's our government working for us.
You mean like your status has changed since you applied?
Right, because I was in between. I've been with, you know, my other company for, I don't know, what, 10, 12 years, and then I was in between switching jobs, and I still had an eligibility. I wasn't like a full-time, you know, locked-in employee at the other place. I was still in transit. And so it's they go by certain qualifications for the year. So it's one of these deals where, what can I say? It's just a racket, the whole system. It's messed up. They should blow it up.
It'll probably take 3 to 4 more months to even get another letter.
Yeah.
And I think it's just America is so big now. It was just, it was too much to take on as a federal project.
Right.
So in that case, I agree that I'm sure some people are benefiting from it, like my Nancy's friend, my older sister's friend, Astra, who's 63,
mm-hmm.
who never had health care the last 10 years. She's benefiting from it, and she receives it now. But Minnesota's a much more efficient state. We have only 4 to 5 million people, and California has 33 million.
Right, and you have to ask yourself, if President Obama, does he have health care? Now, I know he's got lots of money, but what about his kids? What about his wife? What would they be doing if all these congressmen and senators didn't have health care and they were waiting for some letter? You know, what would their response be? I guarantee you it wouldn't be what we have nowadays. Not at all. And that's the point.
Well, we only have 15 minutes left, and that's an ongoing issue, and I do empathize with you, but we'll see what happens and see what actual services for fee for service you get or what type of plan you have and if there's a cap off, like
right.
a $500 deductible. And we can tackle that in the future, but I can let you add a conclusion, but we're going to move on to Ferguson, Missouri in about 3 minutes.
Let's move to Missouri. Yes, the conclusion so far is just don't get sick and everything will be fine. Trust God.
I guess the only stupid thing I saw in the news last night is some kid threw a water bottle at a cop in Ferguson, and he chased him about a half mile to a mile, and he didn't even catch him, I don't think. And that's national news, whereas in Palestine, people's heads are getting blown off, and it's an everyday thing.
Well, here's a million-dollar question. Did they ever decide, the child that was killed, Mr. Brown, in fact, let me get his first name here, was he, Michael Brown, did he not commit a crime that night, a robbery with a friend?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
I mean, I've been reading several different reports, and almost all of them say there was a robbery, at least a couple guys, and armed robbery, and Michael Brown was a part of this, and he was going down the street. Now, the cop that stopped him apparently was unaware that it was related. He only stopped
because
he saw him.
Well, it was 6 shots, John.
Yes. Well, here's a question.
I'm a dumb host because I didn't exactly follow the whole reason he was targeted to begin with.
The cop's version, when I'm sure they're covering themselves, is that he did not cooperate. The cop got close to him, and they wrestled, and that he was reaching for the cop's gun. Cops pulled a gun and shot him. I don't know if I believe that. Some say, well, he was running away, and the cop shot him.
They could have just shot him in the leg. It was a robbery, John.
All the bullets were in the front. They weren't, you know, from the back. So he wasn't apparently running away from him. He was either going towards him or was at least facing him when it happened. What do you surmise?
If Michael Brown was armed and the police thought he was armed and he was fleeing the scene, they have the right to shoot, but he must have been a fast runner for them to have to do it six times.
I kind of lean, I know it's, maybe I'm evil or something, or maybe I'm uncompassionate. I'm a minority, and I drive what they call pony cars, like Camaros, Mustangs, and et cetera. And over the last 30, 35 years I've been driving, I get pulled over all the time. It's just because I'm in a red car and I'm a minority. It's a fast car looking, you know. And my first, you know, what I've been trained to do is both hands on the steering wheel, you know, don't make any sudden movements, be very cooperative, blah, blah, blah. And I tell the cops exactly what I'm doing. It's like, my hand is right here. I'm reaching into, you know, I tell them, like, I'm reaching here for my wallet. I'm going to hold it with one hand. People go, you're overkill. It's like, I don't care if I have 50 bullets in me. There's no going back on this. I don't care if I'm overkill. I'm not screwing around with the police here in L.A. I can only tell you, you're running around in the middle of the night and a cop tells you to stop. What should a logical, or I mean any person who's older than 12 years of age and living on the streets, what are you taught to do? Stand up and ask for your rights? I believe the drill is put your hands up, you know, or whatever, and do exactly what they say, and you'll live. And if you don't, there's a high probability something bad is going to happen to you. It's Darwin. That's just, you know, I know that sounds sympathetic. But I've approached it that way, and I'm alive. I never get hassled. But, you know, I mean, I never get, like, police beating me up or, you know, firing at me or anything like that. Everything gets really cool and gets taken care of, and it's the end of the drill. The problem I have is in these neighborhoods, it's like, okay, you're going to do all this protesting and blow up the city and
well, you know what? Most of the crime was caught on video. He stole the $48.99 box of Swisher Sweet cigars. He bullied one of the store owners who was much smaller who tried to lock the door of the establishment. And then the 6'4", 290-pound Brown took the employee by his shirt and pushed him back into some merchandise. As he moved towards the door, he then turned around and moved toward the worker, appearing to intimidate him. After that, he disappeared off the footage. I'm not saying he deserves six shots, but he did commit a crime, and in the past in the city he used his weight and size to bully people.
I kind of look at it this way, and I'm short-sighted maybe, but once you cross that line of you got a gun, or once you cross the line, and not necessarily him, but he's with someone who is, once you cross the line of I'm going 100 miles through a 25-mile-an-hour zone, or the cops yell at me to stop, and I don't, or they tell me to comply, and I don't, I'm literally, that's a person I don't want around, and I don't mind if they go a little, if they go Rambo on them. Maybe I'm a bad person for thinking that, but if someone's that much of a fool, a damn idiot, to act like that. Because you realize this isn't just a one-time you do. They go out repeatedly over and over. I had a friend robbed at gunpoint like a week ago, innocently in the park, two gangbangers, Mexican and black. She's a minority with another minority, minding their own business, playing guitar. They get robbed at gunpoint. And she didn't see the gun. He was just told, you know, like, I want your money. And she said, let's just go. So she got up to walk away, and he punched her in the face twice and pulled out a gun on her. And, you know, they didn't file a police report. You know why? Because it was in a park. Other people saw it. And no one wanted to say anything, and they're afraid the police aren't going to do anything, and all they're going to do is risk their own lives. Now, are people going to protest about the gangbangers and make a big scene and blow up the town over the gangbangers? Because those are the freaks that I'm scared about. I'm not scared about cops. I know they're annoying. I get pulled over all the time. In fact, I got pulled over twice by the same cop in the last month. It's a female cop.
You know, that happens a lot in Duluth.
Yeah,
they pull people over for just like stupid stuff, like not using your blinker.
Yes, that's what she did. One of my lights in the front was out, and she went through the whole drill. You have the insurance. Where'd you come from? Where are you going? You know, where you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm going to bring food to an old 84-year-old lady. I had the food in the front seat.
Did you have
I just
to
came
get
from
a fix-it ticket?
She was cool. She smiled and said, you know, just replace the bulb. Because, I mean, I'm a 55-year-old guy. You know, I'm not dangerous. I'm, you know, it's like, and if she pulls me over again, I told a friend, if she pulls me over a third time, I'm going to propose to her. I'm going to marry her because it's like, it'll save me a bunch of tickets. But the point is, when a cop pulls over
funny.
A person, they're terrified, right? They want to live. And those are the guys protecting our bacon. And so when someone screws with them, they're screwing with me. I want these people gone, locked up, put down. If they're going to risk in front with a cop that's got a gun, they're going to risk go mano a mano. That's a person I don't want walking around. Now, you know, where's the Jesus
There's
love?
There's a new show called The Hunt where this guy has, who had served in the military and then became a social alien, he led the cops in Wyoming or Montana up to this deep part of the forest, and he shot at a cop, and it was just one cop versus one man, and the shooter got away into the deep, dark forest, and they never saw him again, and it's an unsolved crime.
Imagine this. How many times do you hear in the news a cop gets shot, right, by someone? It happens all the time. Or an innocent person, right, at a party, a bystander gets shot. How come people, and you know, you can see once or twice a year or a couple times a year, yeah, you get police brutality. I understand. It's terrible. It's terrible. But I'm just saying every day I hear of someone innocent being killed because of some gangbanger. How come people in the community don't march? How come Ferguson, they have a whole bunch of, why aren't they protesting about the guy that was running around that was armed that robbed the thing, right? They don't. And you say, how come? Because they're afraid. Why? Because the gangbanger will kill them. The thug will kill him. Oh, but we don't. We'll yell at the cops and throw stuff at them because they, if they do something wrong, we can get on video cam and go after them. Because cops don't run around just beating up the crap out of people unless they're suspicious, freaky criminals in general. Not always.
Well, some things in Duluth I've seen are, I'm not saying they're corrupt, but they over-investigate things. In places
there's
like
corrupt.
L.A., they... In L.A., they have to do it because there's too many, there's more criminals than there are cops.
Right. But
they
the
pretty much have
it,
to pick the dangerous cases. They're not going to waste time on the minor cases.
The thing is, cops are just like you and me. There's people. There's good people. There's bad people. There's slackers. There's people that are on top of their game. So you're going to have some. But the point is, these people are blowing up their city over a robbery suspect. You think about that. Well, how effed up is our society when people commit crimes and we're gonna commit more crimes in their name to protest, you know, an injustice? Hey, it's terrible. But you know, if the guy had just, I guarantee if he dropped his knees and just put his hands up and said, I'm sorry, or just keep his mouth shut, he'd be alive. I would guarantee 99 out of 100. Now, there might be a 1 out of 100 the cop just wants to take target practice. But they have to answer so many questions to this stuff, they have to think 50 ways to Sunday before they pull their gun. And they just want to go home alive. So, yeah, they're going to get freaky if the guy's combative. And it sounds like he wasn't a Boy Scout. But that's okay. I'm hardline. I'm a bad person, but I've just seen enough of this.
By no
life.
Responsibility towards you, I'm fading. And we could either play a song right now and do a 8-minute wrap up after that, or we could do a wrap up now and then I can play the departure song.
Ooh. What if we let the music play?
Okay, let's do that. And it's 4 minutes long. The show ends at 6:15. I might only play 3 minutes. Here we go.
Cool.
It's live. Creedy, Flo, and Abe.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, that's about it. It's live and it's not the best acoustics, but there's a person going, and there's a guitar person. I like the singing part. It was a little flat, though.
Yes.
Every day I live my life. Okay, well, so what are we going to do for a wrap-up?
Well, I would say, what did we learn today? Oh, we learned so much. We learned Obamacare leaves a little to be desired. We learned that if you're in Missouri and a cop pulls up after you've robbed some people, you might want to just put your hands up and not fight. we learned that if you're invited to a Islamic State photography studio and they want to do headshots, it may not be what you're thinking of. And that's kind of my follow the truth wherever it leads you, except any of those situations.
I'm wondering if Lauren was a little angrier and grew up in a worse neighborhood, that he might have been the one stealing the $49 box of cigars.
You might have.
He's 30 pounds lighter than this guy and 2 inches shorter, but follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's a box of Twinkies in a small businessman's owner aisle.
And if you're cruising around in your Mercedes in the hood, stay away from the ho-hos.
And
they're
the
on every corner. Yes.
And the po-po.
Especially off of Crenshaw or Normandy heading towards Vernon. Do not stop. Just keep on driving.
And if you're Bill Clinton, stay away from cigars.
Just ask Monica Lewinsky on that one, huh?
So where does the... You have 2 minutes. Where does... Follow the... I'll say the first line. Follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless...
Unless they make you a really good offer if you're, I was going to say, to dog sit for $20 an hour. Do not pass it up.
And you have a dual role of dog and diva sit.
Yes. In fact, I'll be heading off later this evening for another episode.
And I hope the diva doesn't listen to this show.
I'm keeping it far away from her. I actually had to, I was supposed to pick up some turkey jerky chews from Sheldon at the Rainbow.